Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 365.
Sure? And
yes, because I double checked, even though there was technically no 364 because I forgot to put that number on it. I guess I can go back and edit that.
I think you marvelized the podcast.
What, because I didn't put a number on it? Okay. Or is this number one then? No, it's number 365. And why is that special, Dave?
It's one for every day of the year. So a dedicated listener can go back, start today, and listen to one podcast
or
every day.
You have a
one
new listener.
The whole year.
Could start tomorrow.
Exactly.
And just listen to one every day for a year and be caught up.
I guarantee that person has better things to do.
I guarantee that person doesn't exist. Yes. That would want to do that. Because, right. Well, it still always shocks me when somebody comes in and says, oh, I heard you talking about this on the podcast and wanting to get a book. And it's like, You're the one. You're the one that's listening.
Are you referring to James? It's James because he's the only listener I know of.
Right. Yeah, we know. Well, I mean, I'm assuming the people that ask questions listen.
They could just be question trolls.
That's true.
Yeah. You know,
somebody asked me a question a couple weeks ago, and I wrote it.
I guess.
Did I write it down?
I'm sure it is.
I think
everything's a thing on the internet. Okay. The internet's like the multiverse.
Okay.
It exists somewhere.
That's the truth.
I do have the right notebook, so I can ask the question the guy asked in person, but it was a couple weeks ago.
I kept forgetting about it. Mark this day down. This is the first time someone has asked a question. Colin has set off to get back to that on a later podcast, and actually did.
I haven't heard from our friend in New England, so he must have been really mad that we never answered that question.
Oh, that's right.
We kept putting it off and putting it off, and now I don't even remember.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a different question.
No.
I thought about me, exclamation point, but he's not New England. You said
No. He's from Monroeville. Not quite New England. They like to think they're part of New England, but they're not quite there yet. Scranton, I'd give. Yeah, close.
I remember now. That question, yeah. That one went unanswered.
Oh, yes.
Answering it for like four consecutive podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't intentional. It's just... By the time we get to the podcast, I've been here for 10 hours, and I'm tired. I forget things. Hey, I got the gold notification. it was a minute 40 in. Maybe that one was disallowed, that other one.
There's going to be another one.
Because there's another one Jordan Everly scored. Sorry. We can't. Since we remodeled and moved where we podcast from, we can't see the TV anymore. So it's going to be a problem now in hockey playoff time. So people are looking at their phones. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Dave.
Josh.
We had Pat. We had Pat killed. No.
Wow.
Pat's not here, and Mike had...
That's what happens when you cut back on your pool list.
Yeah, see? Mike wanted me to say that he was not scared off. He had work to do that had to be done...
Typical.
...by the morning. So he came in early to get his books. So... That's okay. He'll be back.
I hope so.
He'll be back. And I even wrote down... We do have some questions. I wrote down some things I wanted to talk about.
Ooh.
I try.
Last podcast of the year, he's all proactive.
Yeah, before we start over next week. So let's get to the questions to start off with.
Questions before news. It's craziness.
Or do you want me to start with news?
No,
I don't have news. It was more rants. Was there news? Any news we want to talk about?
Young Animal is back.
They just announced that today. They enjoyed, because one of the books has something to do with like black holes and stuff, so they thought it was very fun that they made that announcement today. And then they discovered, we got a picture of a black hole. Mm-hmm. But Gerard Way is back on a new volume of Doom Patrol.
Pat's been trying to take a picture of his own black hole for years, unsuccessfully.
Yeah. And his brother is doing a book. And then there's another book. I saw the titles and stuff, but I didn't really read the details about them. But I'm glad they're coming back. Doom Patrol definitely, with the TV show, has some legs right now. So, a guy just called and asked me to set aside all three volumes of the Morrison Doom Patrol volumes. Mm-hmm. So. I have the omnibus at home on my coffee table. Still shrink wrapped. I'm getting there. I'll unshrink wrap it one of these days. TV show is excellent. I don't know if anybody's watching it. Anybody has a DC app?
We are on like episode 6, I think, maybe.
Okay, you're getting, yeah. What was it about? What was the title?
The last one is where the reanimator, or no, the reconstructor.
Oh, okay, okay. The giant eye in the sky.
The second
okay,
giant
okay.
eye.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Dr. Now that Harrison. Was so Morrison. Yeah. I mean, that was literally watching a Morrison comic. I enjoyed that immensely.
Paw Patrol. I guess that was Paw Patrol.
Okay. That was yeah. The name yeah, of the dog. Yeah, because yeah. of the dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love how they all have Patrol in the title. And I think the next one is Doom Patrol.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Doom Patrol.
Yeah. That one was outstanding. But it's been really, really good. And I finished Titans. I watched Titans. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The ending wasn't great. That last episode was a little confusing, yeah. But the very ending was, okay, well, I guess you're getting renewed because you cannot leave a series end like that. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. I wasn't thrilled about that whole thing with her dad and all that. I was... leave that for season two. But, no, I thought that was really, really well done. But I thought that whole thing at the end with Batman was fascinating. So,
no, I enjoyed that. They did a good job.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely did not... The initial trailer and the initial leanings towards what I thought it was going to be, it wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be.
No, and like the... In the series, it kind of all made sense. Like the
Dark Knight, it absolutely made sense. But I think they promoted it poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was good. I'm very much looking forward to Swamp Thing. I feel they've really crushed both of these shows so far.
And this DC service so far has been worth the money.
Yeah. I can't think of any other news. They revealed the covers for Power of X and House of Ten, Tim. House of Ten and Power of X.
It's the other one.
I know it is. But I will never say it that way. Tim told me it was the other way. The new Hickman books. And then I saw Colin Bunn had something announced, and there's been a lot of little announcements and stuff going on.
It's
going
to be an Invisible Woman series.
Yeah, Mark Waid.
Really?
By Mark Waid.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. I think it was just a mini. It was like a 5-issue mini. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not a ton of news. I love how the way... It's like, announce your news when the previews comes out, not a month before, because it's like, people, sign me up for that. I can't, because it doesn't exist. Just frustrating in that regard. But it's like, you guys know how the order cycle works. Why do you do things outside of that? You created the cycle, and now you're playing, so I'm back to writing things down on Post-it notes. Thanks, that's great. I'm glad I pay a lot of money for a POS system. Yeah, so I don't really remember any other news. I needed to be better on that. I did make notes of things that I did want to talk about. So I was proud of myself for that.
I did see humanoids. Mark Waid and John Cassidy are developing this superhero universe.
Okay.
For humanoids.
Kessel titled.
And Mark Waid's writing a series that I think I forget what it's called, but it's about kids who are the victim of a school shooting. Who get superpowers.
Oh, okay.
And what they do with it. I don't know. Is that like a foreign company? I don't know if that's going to be
Humanoids is French,
here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's like there was that. There was Heavy Metal. Tim Seeley took over Heavy Metal. So I'm not sure what's going on with Humanoids. I know they're trying to get more. My biggest problem with Humanoids is it's mostly been very expensive graphic novels, Hodorowski stuff. But it's like, you know, $50 for a 68-page hardcover, and it's like, that's hard to order. You know, all the Inkle stuff and all that Meta Barons and stuff is all humanoid stuff. So we'll see where that goes. Questions? We'll start the questions before I get going blah, blah. Zach asked, did DC screw up by releasing both Batman and Detective on the same week? No, I don't think it was DC. I do think it's a mistake because we didn't have either last week. So Batman should have been last week. The reason I don't think it was them is we also got this week, we got two issues of the Star Trek Age of Rebellion. We got Grand Moff Tarkin and Princess Leia that should have been separate weeks. So I think there were some books. What?
You just said Star Trek.
Oh, I didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. And we shouldn't have had those on the same week. So I'm thinking something happened at Diamond and things were delayed. And that's why we didn't get Batman last week than when we should have. I think some books, for some reason, that should have come out last week got slid to this week. And little things like the Adventures of Super Sons trade came out today, but I didn't get it, and I'm not getting it next week, so something, for some reason. But a store that I talked to in L.A. got there, so something's wonky, and I think it's on the Diamond side. So, Zach, I do agree with you, but I don't think it was DC per se. I think it just stuff happened. How are your sales of Aquaman and Wonder Woman with the new writers? Not good. Even with the movie and everything, Aquaman really did not take off. I thought the story was good. It was interesting. It's crashed.
But it's the quality's there. Like, it's been good.
Yeah, but it's so. Just people aren't buying it. And the new Wonder Woman, when they put G. Willow Wilson, my numbers have dropped. And
same thing
I
there.
Don't
like,
know
this,
why.
This current arc has been really good.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but yeah, there's just a lack of excitement. And James says, how is it possible that Batman can come out twice a month and still feel like it's going absolutely nowhere?
Technically three.
I agree with you completely. I think this Nightmares thing, while an interesting idea, going over 3 months was a bad idea because it does feel like it's going nowhere.
And breaking it up in the middle.
And then breaking it up with the price in the middle, but I think that was dependent. That was because of King going to L.A. to talk TV or movie deal, and so he wouldn't be able to write for X period of time, so that's why they did the fill-in. But I agree. I have not liked this Nightmare stuff. It wrapped up today, if you want to say wrapping up. It was a really good issue. I was really concerned when I saw Amanda Connor was drawing it, because she is so not in the Batman.
She's not dark.
She's not dark, but the issue completely worked because it was building off Lois and Catwoman, and it's like their adventures in the Fortress of Solitude. So it completely worked because they're getting drunk off of alien wine and having a good old time. So it completely worked in a...
Yeah.
Her art completely matched the story. So that was fine. But yes, I completely agree that it's... I get the idea behind it, but it's just taken way too long for this to come out. And then Can't Stop the Serenity asks, is Firefly Bad Company a one-shot, or will we see more of those? I don't know. They haven't solicited anymore. Firefly Bad Company was basically the story of Mal's wife before the show started. And I think it was actually before the war. I think they were married before the war. I'm not 100% certain. So it was just kind of a one-shot, giving a little bit extra story. So I don't know, but I'm going to say if it sold well, they'll probably do more, because most companies are like that. It sold really well for me, but I also didn't order enough because I didn't have enough for all the Firefly people. Because it was an $8 book, I kind of hedged my bets, but nobody said no. Everybody's bought it that I pulled it for, so that's worked out. Everybody was, those fans are really quite ravenous, so that's worked. So I don't know. Again, tell Boom that you liked it. And, tweet them or whatever, so that they get good feedback on it. But as always, sales help. Ooh.
What?
Okay. James Tinian just posted a picture of the Immortal Dr. Fate, which is a bunch of stuff from the 80s, with the title Research. So that's cool. Probably in Justice League Dark, but
yeah.
I read that stuff. I read the McManus run. I think he was the artist on it. Sean McManus was the artist. I don't remember who the writer was. Probably JMD Mateus would be my guess. That was a lot of fun. I really liked it. I was a big Dr. Fate guy for a very long time.
Dr. Fate's a cool character.
Yeah, he's a very cool character. So that was just funny as I went away from the questions and went back to the regular Twitter feed. And just to see that, I was like, cool. So that's it for the questions. Sorry, that was not very dramatic.
You did the question that was written down?
Oh, the one that was written down. This was a gentleman came in, just asked, what is our favorite comic book video game? Now, because I'm old school Atari, I think the only comic book video game we had was Superman.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite video game. It was so basic. It was so, what was before 8-bit? 4-bit, maybe? It was pretty bad. But... once I figured it out and figured out the pattern, it was a challenge to see how fast I could accomplish all the tasks and stuff. So I had my score written down. So I was an only child. What do you want? Sadly, that's my...
Spencer?
Probably, because I'm not a huge video game guy, but it would probably be like the old... Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Okay. Or like, I was going to say like the NES game, and yeah. I'm the... flip this table over and see out of your mind.
Or like Maximum Carnage, like Spider-Man.
Maximum Carnage is a fun game. I like that game.
Probably one of those two. But I haven't really played any like the new Batman games or anything. Like, I've seen stuff and they look amazing, but I can't afford that stuff now. All my money goes to the books.
I'm with Colin. I can't think of a superhero game I've played off besides Superman, the original Superman for the Atari. So I'm racking my brain trying to think of something, but I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I strongly agree with Spencer. The Ninja Turtles arcade game, the actual like arcade cabinet one, is a fantastic game. The SNES Turtles games are also pretty good. Even though I think those games pull more from the cartoon and less from the comic, but still, technically, it's a comic book.
I remember reading the original Ninja Turtles, like the first four issues, and that's as far as I went. But you know, Shredder's beheaded in the first issue and things like that. And then I'm like, wait, what's this cowabunga dude? That's not what was going on in the comics. You know, it was a straight riff on Daredevil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was just very confused when they gained all that popularity. I'm like, that was a neat, you know, dark black and white book.
But yeah.
I have a different one, if you'll accept Popeye. I like playing the Popeye game for, I don't know if it was ColecoVision or something.
Okay.
But I play the Popeye arcade game every time I go to Kenwood.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I play Real Centipede when I go to Kenwood. So. With the ball. It's fun with the ball. Yeah. Joystick, not the same.
I heard
what I said. Yes. Thank you. I feel like Tobias Funke.
It wasn't just what you said, it was also the hand motion and the glimmer in your eye.
Oh,
it really sold it.
The smile you had.
Yeah. Those games are great. But the recent Batman Arkham series, those games are a ton of fun. The third one, at that point, I was like, okay, maybe this you know is time to be over. I think the story of the third one wasn't that great, the Arkham Knight one, which makes it more surprising that's the character now in the current detective arc. But Arkham Asylum and Arkham City were both tons of fun. Those are probably the best ones I can think of. Overall,
I've heard nothing but good things about that new Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard good things about that. I don't have a PlayStation. I have an Xbox, so I haven't gotten to play it. But
it's only a PlayStation.
Yeah,
exclusive.
It's a PlayStation exclusive. But the company that made that did—I think it was a launch title on Xbox One, Sunset Overdrive, and that was a whole lot of fun. It was a big, like, you know, open world game, so I can only imagine how they did with the Spider-Man game. But yeah, there's been a long history of bad comic book games, but yeah, those are definitely some good ones.
Okay, that was the last question. So I decided to check something, because when I looked at my invoice this morning, it's fun. We get it at 5 a.m., so normally the first thing I do when I wake up Wednesday morning is on my phone, look at the invoice. And I saw both Major X2 and War of the Realms 2 are shipping next week. And I'm like, okay, well, that starts to explain all sorts of things. Before we put in our final numbers for War of Realms 2, we had to put in our final orders for the second print of number 2. It's like, bye, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
It's like, really? We have to order second prints before first prints. And they had a big announcement that Major X2 already sold out, even though it doesn't ship till next week. And I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty simple. Because the way they did that, we had to put in our numbers, our final numbers for Major X2 before number one shipped. So nobody knew how it was going to do. And number one sold out because they made a big deal announcing, I think, the Friday or Saturday before it shipped that it had sold out. So, of course, it became a big speculator book. And so that sold out. And now the fact that number two is already sold out, it's like, well, I tried to up my numbers on number two, but it was already sold out, so I couldn't get more. And the problem with that is it's a new X-Men character that has nothing to do with anything. It's Rob Liefeld, who He has his fans, but he also has many detractors. It was a very hard book to figure out how many to order of. Because it could either be a hit or it could be a complete flop. And especially when you have to order number two before you see how it does, you know, you kind of aim low, you know, because we can't send back the stuff that doesn't sell.
Especially with his history of books recently. Yeah. He hasn't had a good track record recently and stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's a six-issue mini. He's only drawing one and six, and some person I've never heard of is drawing two through four or two through five. So it's like, I don't know what to make of this thing. And it's like, and now they're announcing sellouts. Same with War of the Realms. Main cover sold out. I can still order plenty of the variants. They're still in stock, but they announced it because that main cover sold out. It's a sellout. Oh, okay. Sure it is. In a very, very narrow sense, yes. So, just annoyed. Just more kind of playing with the sales charts, playing with numbers.
Shenanigans.
And it's like me saying, hey, I sold out, but if I only ordered two copies of something and I had two pre-orders for it, is that really mean anything? And that's kind of what they're doing. They're, you know, they know the orders were low on number two. They knew there were going to be more orders coming, but because the way we had to order them, they didn't bother to overprint, and boom. So, just annoyed by that. And then there's a new publisher out there called A Wave Blue World. One of the publisher reps left Aftershock to go work there. And so, didn't really know what they were doing. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this could be really cool. You know, she left what I assume was a pretty good job to take a job at this other thing, this startup. And same with Joe Illidge, who was running Valiant for a while. This was his project that I think he left for. So I'm like, okay, this looks really interesting. Until we get the first info, and I was really kind of disappointed. Their first thing is a Kickstarter, and it's an anthology musical horror book. And in order to get in on it, I have to... The retailer tier is for $50. I can get five copies, and then they'll do some social media blasts about me carrying their book. I'm like,
what's the cover price in the book?
Probably 20 is my guess. But it's like, I don't normally order five of anything. Not fair. I did order five of Wrong Earth. But I also know that book. I know the quality of that book. I know the excitement we've had for it, and I know that I'm fairly certain I'll be able to sell those five without any problem. But this is like, wait a minute. You know, this is your first step. First off, anthologies don't sell well. You're a brand new company that nobody knows, and you're expecting me to, you know, just drop $50. It's like, no, maybe I'd order one and see how it did, and then order another one. And it's just like, I just found it to be a very interesting way to start. And as somebody pointed out, well, you know, printing stuff is expensive, so they might not have had the money to fund the printing and stuff like that. I'm like, well, then you need to figure out a better way to do it, because just going to retailers, and they're going, and the other thing is, it's not just retailers, it's a Kickstarter for everybody. And the thing that we've all noticed, because we do, retailers do talk, is that we all find anytime you do a Kickstarter, you don't really sell anything, because the people that really want it will do the Kickstarter to get the extras as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping to get people who are kind of random walking in and seeing something to be interested in it. Again, five copies on some anthology. Mm-hmm. So I just found it really puzzling why they were trying that. And just a little, not frustrated, but didn't it's think it was...
Musical horror, you said?
Something like musical horror. So I don't know... I mean, I wish them well, but, you know. And one thing, like, a friend of mine said, he's like, so, you know, he's trying to explain to someone else who was doing it. He's like, well, the problem is, you know, you're asking me to basically give you $50, and then if this book ever comes out, I'll get it, and then if I sell all of them, I'll make my money back situation. And it's like, that's kind of a gamble I'm not willing to take, when I can take that $50 and buy an extra copy of Watchmen and an extra... a couple extra copies of Saga, and no, I'll turn my money. So, you know, you're a gamble, and $50 isn't the world, but nobody wants to be throwing away $50. So, I just thought it was an interesting interesting idea and way to go. So, that's all. Those were my two thoughts, but I decided to write them down so I wouldn't forget. Yay.
when does that stuff come out? Like, when do they actually...
No, I didn't really see any dates. I was just kind of reading through it, and they're like, oh, and a special retailer tier. And I was like, well, you know, you go higher, like $95, you can get a t-shirt. I'm like...
And that's okay. Their only
so far, announced product. Yeah, that's so the only far. Thing I've seen so far. So we'll just wait. Because at least, like, when Aftershock started, they actually went to the Diamond Summit before they even started to talk to us and made their pitch and everything. So when it came up in previews, it was like, oh, okay, I remember these guys. And yeah. You have to remember, you know, the first thing they had was American Monster by Brian Azzarello. What was it, the Alter Ego, I think it was, or Alters. But I think that was by, like, Paul Jenkins. Yeah. You know, they had big names on their first wave of books to, you know, get you to try them.
Black-eyed kids, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and there was Super Zero that I think was Super by, Zero. Like...
Mark Waid.
Yeah, I think it was Mark Waid and Amanda Connor. So, they, yeah. You know, they definitely had names that we were familiar with.
Yeah.
I saw some of the names on this one, and not, you know, Ren Famous, who's on Twitter for being against Comicsgate, is writing... It's her first writing credit and things like that. It's like, okay, you know, that's nice, but is that going to make me back my $50?
Yeah.
So...
interesting.
Yeah. And then they all kind of think, you know, oh, it's only $50. Well, yeah, but it's my $50. And, you know, I'm going to spend it how I want to spend it.
Yeah, so it's a... Remember when he left Valiant, he made comments that he wanted to be somewhere where he could do, like, really, like, bold off the wall.
Right. And this might be it.
And it sounds like it.
The other problem is the name annoys me because it's, you know, a riff on a Brave New World, a Wave Blue World. It's like, okay, you're being clever. Yay. I'm not a fan of clever. Yeah. I'm a fan of smart, but.
I like clever.
Sometimes.
I don't like that. Yeah. I'm indifferent to it. I don't dislike
it. Right. I don't dislike it, but I kind of read it and went, so, that's all I got. Anybody else have any news or thoughts or concerns? Questions? Concerns?
I don't right now, no.
Why are you glaring at Dave? Was Dave saying something out at the counter before?
What am I supposed to say?
I thought Dave was going to swoop in and say something profound.
You ready for the meaning of life, Josh?
I am.
Okay. Next week I'll have it.
Rolos. Okay.
Would you read Spencer?
No. No. That's fine.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to start with Dave because I know Dave read a book I'm excited to talk about. But
Dave can go first.
No, we can go. Go ahead, Spencer. You were the chosen one.
Okay.
To you and your four books.
Yeah. Green Lantern?
I read it.
I don't really remember what happened in this issue. That's
how I feel about War of the Realms.
I just haven't...
Duel to the death.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Adam Strange.
Yeah.
So which one died?
Neither.
Adam Strange died.
Eh.
But he came back. I actually liked it. I've been liking this book more and more, but it's still not phenomenal. Like, it's still this whole premise of Hal Jordan is, you know, pretending to be the bad guy. To try and infiltrate the Black Stars,
and I keep on getting confused with the
Dark Stars.
Yeah, from the previous, like, you know, like
from the previous, yeah.
Too many, just too similar.
And they actually said that in this yeah. issue. They mentioned both of them. So he's trying to prove his loyalty to the Black Stars. They wanted to kill a prisoner they have. Turns out to be Adam Strange. He refuses to fight him unless it's a fair fight. So they got Adam Strange a blaster, and it looks like he killed Adam Strange, but really he just, you know, managed to put him into a coma. And then Alana was able to, like, revive him afterwards. It was good. The book is growing on me. I'm liking the art more than I was originally. Which I didn't dislike the art, but I didn't love it. Like, I felt like it was trying to look almost like, do almost like a preacher style art is what it kind of reminded me of.
I could see that.
But yeah, it's all right. It's you know, good even, but it's not great. It's just
how do you like that weird dude at the end that like that weird cowboy dude?
Oh,
I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Terra Man? Okay, no, I'm not sure. Terra Man was a cowboy guy.
Yeah.
No, it's like some weird like alien thing. Okay. He's like stranded somewhere or something. I hear.
I had the big Treasury edition book, and it was the Secrets Origins of Supervillains one, mm-hmm. and Terra Man was in it. I'd never heard of him before in my life, so that was my introduction to him. His dad was shot by an alien, and that's why he hates and he hunts aliens.
Was he cool?
Because he left. It was a circle. And then he put like a bullet in it, and that was it. Not particularly. Mm-hmm. But just when I think when he's mentioned cowboy, that's why I think of him.
I see.
Okay. That's my Terra Man story. Thank you. I'll go in the memoirs.
Justice League 21. We get to see a little bit more of the world of this the sixth dimension and. Get to see more about like the unease behind the scenes.
Yeah, so essentially we find out that the shining white, you know, white clothed Superman is the son of Perpetua.
Yeah.
And he is the world builder. And he is showing him the world that could be this world without crime, without criminals, without villains, if they go along with, you know, this plan that he's telling them. And he presents as if he kind of, you know, looked at all possible scenarios and this is the best outcome. At least that's what it seemed like. And essentially would involve the Justice League going on the offensive and going after people that haven't really even, like, done anything wrong yet, but just might have the, you know, capacity for doing something. It's like the Minority Report kind of aspect of it. And they are, you know, the Justice League is debating this back and forth before finally deciding that that's not, you know, who they are. It's not what they're going to do.
I like how they brought back in the, like, the mind meeting room thing. Mm-hmm. They haven't done that since, like, the first, like, story arc, I think.
Mm-hmm. So that was cool. It was also cool getting to see the very sparse Justice League holding things together back on Earth.
Yeah.
With Starman, Mara, and Jaro.
Yeah.
I kind of love Jaro.
Wasn't that the issue with him in the Robin? Like, where he thought he was, like, he was having a dream about being Batman's new Robin? Yeah. I've been liking this story arc.
Yeah, that was, the dream was either this issue or the previous issue.
I can't remember which one.
But yeah, no, I've been liking it, and then Superman trying still, to yeah,
is still stuck in that. Well, I guess we find out that those are like all bones of like previous Superman
from other like universes or whatever dimensions. But it was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Amazing Spider-Man 18 HU.
The Gibbon.
Yeah, we get to find out the origin of the Gibbon if you didn't already know, which, I mean, you probably should have if you're
a real comic book fan.
Yeah, but essentially he's, like,
I don't know either.
before this storyline, I never heard of the guy.
But Spencer knows now.
It's Adam's favorite.
Yeah. But essentially he is kind of like this, almost like Cro-Magnon kind of looking guy who just starts out by doing like petty crimes and Spider-Man stops him. And, you know, he tries to go on the straight and narrow, but he needed money for something. And he got experimented on that turned him more into like this kind of like Bigfoot creature, and these are all like flashbacks from flashbacks of his origin and stuff to the present, to where he's presently getting hunted by these Kraven robots that are being controlled by all these millionaire game hunters in Central Park. So I guess he's getting like shot and by things and trying to make it escape. It keeps on flashing back to this, and it ends with Spider-Man finding him just like right as just as he's about to die. So he's one of the catchies of this story arc. But good. Nick Spencer wrote it, so it fits in pretty well with the main story line going on. The art was pretty good. And then Uncanny X-Men number 15. This picks up right with at the end of the last issue with Cap finding out where they were hiding out, and it was basically he was having a conversation with Cyclops, Wolverine, and Havoc, telling them like because they have that deal with I forget her name, but she's like she's in the government to if there's any trouble that they need their help with, that they would help them to if they kept an eye on mutants, and Captain America was there basically there to warning them to like, hey, she, don't trust her, don't, this is a bad idea, and they gave him like an Avengers card, and was like, I know I haven't been there in the past to help you guys, but if you guys, this is me trying to offer, my help to you guys, how bad it is for mutants now, that, you don't have to take it or not, but he's like, this is me offering, let me know if I can, help and stuff, and he ends up leaving. And so then they get a report that Hope she's like started her own little band of like these like terrorist mutants who are getting ready to attack this political thing that are like an anti-mutant like rally thing. So they go there to stop her, and, so Cyclops and her is going to fight, she pulls a gun, shoots Cyclops, like, in the face, and because I think it's the visor that mostly stops it, but,
What, Tim?
Tim, for his phone charger.
Oh, okay.
So she shoots him, and Wolverine stabs her after being blasted by Hope, because as Hope can still, like, as a mutant's power, she can copy their powers. But she's able to escape because she uses Wolverine's healing factor, but the way that Cyclops got shot, she took out one of his eyes, so now Cyclops is actually Cyclops. He only has one eye now.
Oh no!
So he needs a monocle then.
Yeah.
Instead of a full visor.
So he's truly Cyclops.
Truly Cyclops.
Mm-hmm. But he just needs to move the eye to the center of his head.
But Dark, so they have Dark Beast locked in like the bottom of their basement. She's able to operate on him to, save him and stuff, but now any time that he tries to use his laser beams, he gets, like, a real bad, like, pain, like pain in his head, like, it's, like, gonna explode because it doesn't have the energy, doesn't have the other eye to come out of.
I'll just go find Forge, he'll make something.
Right? And then the end of the issue reveals that how, like, the other four of the X-Men that were the part of the new mutant team who were, infested with that, what was it, Warlock? Is the robot guy?
Okay,
from
They
had, like, the Warlock virus, and they was able...
Oh, what was that? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So he was able to unaffect them, but they had to, like, he had to take the virus out of them and, like, put it someplace else. So they put it into a duplicate.
Cyclops' eye. Oh.
Yeah, sorry. No. Into a duplicate of Jamie Madrox. And so he's all like, help, friend. Or like, hello, friend. Please kill me because of like the pain and stuff. But that's where that issue ends. So.
Is that the Warlock virus that killed Cypher or something?
Yeah, Doug Locke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, Doug Ramsey.
Yeah, Doug Ramsey, right.
I just remember the old foil covers, but yeah, I don't remember the name of the storyline.
But that's all I had.
Okay, Colin wants to talk about Bronze Age.
How did you know?
Bronze Age Boogie, number one.
From Ahoy.
New first issue of the new series, second wave from Ahoy.
Now, the idea behind this was they took all the best things from the 70s. And in the 70s, the big books were apes and sci-fi and Dungeons and Dragons and Kung Fu. And they decided to put that all into one book.
So after a one-page prologue, we have the story starts 4,000 years ago with this girl, Britta Constantina. She's fighting these monsters with her dad, wondering which way the story's going to go, and then she reveals her battle cry is, "Sit on it, Potsy." And then she has this treasure chest filled with stuff from the 20th century, these items from the 20th century, and a talking monkey who's part of the ape action time travel team, something like that. Ape time travel action team, something like that. And it's just, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it was. It was completely all over the place. So I'm like, what happened in it? I just remember it just kind of kept going and going. But
there's a Martian invasion in 4,000 years ago. And I think and there's a Martian invasion in 1975 at the same time. I don't think this book, I don't think it hit me in that sweet spot as much much as the other books, just because of the fact that it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot going on, and there's nothing I could really hold on to like some of the other Ahoy
books. But it had all the extras at the end, you know, the text piece, the little backup story, so.
Yeah, it's not a criticism. It's very good.
What do you think? Maybe you have more of like an expectation for these next wave of books that you didn't have for the, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say when you talk about next week's books, I think that Planet of the Nerds.
Yes, that's next week.
I have very high hopes for this book.
I forgot the invoice.
But
it's okay.
Where's that?
It's on the counter. I'll get it when you're talking because I'm sure you talked about some books that I haven't read.
More than one book?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only thing you read?
More stuff.
Okay, it should be on the side counter.
I'm just going to say that I have high hopes for that Planet of the Nerds book, and I'm going to be disappointed if that's, I can't imagine it's bad, but I'm looking forward to next Bronze Age Boogie. Who's good? Black Hammer 45, number two.
That's a lot of numbers, Dave.
I know. Keep track of all these. This continues the story of the Golden Age Black Hammer Squadron, this elite group of fighter pilots, African-American fighter pilots. And this issue mainly takes place during an air battle with this Black Hammer Squadron. They fight this Nazi-created god in the clouds, and then there's this, like, Nazi Batman creature, the Fledermaus, that they're fighting. And then the twist at the end, they introduce a character, a Black Hammer hero we've seen before. This is probably the earliest, it is the earliest we've seen him in the timeline. So in the timeline, they're introducing these Black Hammer heroes and different versions of them in these different books. Because did you read Quantum Age, Spencer?
If it hasn't came out in trade, I haven't read it.
But they introduced like a character, a regular character in the future in Quantum Age. I won't say who it is since you haven't read that yet. But I have to say, Matt Kent is doing the art on this. And with all due respect, I do not think the art fits the book. The style doesn't fit the book. I like somebody with a more detailed approach to facial expressions and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mekin's style is not detailed. It's very
scratchy and
rough.
And rough, but I just...
I like his art a lot. But
I like it too in some things. I do too. But for this, I just don't think it fits, so I apologize, Mekin.
I'll let him know.
But I read a review that said the same thing, so I don't feel too... I'm not the only one. Red Sonja, number three.
I read that.
Did you read that?
I took it home.
I've been enjoying this series a lot.
Yeah, it's been really good. This is a funny issue, or good issue. They captured the... the baggage train. So they have all from Dragon the Magnificent, and they have all his riches now, and Dragon has to go back to his quote unquote sulking pillow and ask his wife for more money to get the more supplies, which is going to take a few weeks to get there.
Or will it?
And we get some flashbacks to show how Red Sonja became so self-reliant. And there's also a subplot with these women, they call the Barons,
mm-hmm.
who are beyond child rearing age. So they volunteer to be fighters, and they get into some squabbles with these other thieves.
But they're pretty badass.
But they are badass, yeah. They were great.
Yeah, so like these thieves and like mercenaries that tried to, get Sonja to hire them to fight for her. She realized that they would not be loyal soldiers at all. So she, told them to go pound salt essentially, and then they go, to the other side and say, they could help out if he agrees to let them keep whatever items and treasure they managed to recover of his originally. So he agrees to it, and they go back in, knowing the Sonya's encampment, try to infiltrate in there and encounter these Barons and take them, very lightly and pay the price for it.
So it's Mark Russell's doing a great job and get me interested in a Red Sonja book and some interesting things going on in it. And lastly, I read $6 Million Man.
Getting better.
Number 2. It's good. It has a big sense of humor about himself, because it's 1974 Tokyo. There he's working with this secret. Steve Lawson's working with this secret agent Nico Abe to get this missile away from this madman, and he's lost a leg.
Uh-oh.
And he's leaking fuel. And the issue's called, like, the $4,269,000 man, because he lost his leg. And so he's carrying, they're trying to escape the missile silo, the missile's about to blow, and he's carrying the leg over his shoulders, and they get in a mine cart to try to escape from there, like in Temple of Doom. And they find a monastery where he can make some repairs. And he needs a charge, so he climbs up to the top of the building where there's an antenna. So he's like hoping for a lightning strike to recharge the leg. So big action issue, but I'm enjoying it. Okay. He's doing a good job with it. And that's all I got.
I think I only have two. Sure,
Josh
more.
And I should have all the same books the rest of the
week. Female Furies, number 3?
No, took it home, but...
I've been liking this. This is a sad book, but it's been pretty good. So, up to this point, Aurelie has been raped, taken advantage of. She was, became pregnant, and then... like a forced abortion, and she's been trying to like tell people what's been going on. No one believes her. The other Furies are telling her that she's, making things up for attention, essentially, that she should be acting like their leader, and she's not. So she really hasn't had anyone in her corner, and Granny Goodness has been trying to, get her to just deal with it, just like Granny Goodness dealt with it whenever she was a younger soldier and let, Darkseid have his way with her. So in order to try and, push that along and get them to the point where she would just get back to her normal, self, Granny Goodness, captures and brings in Beautiful Dreamer to essentially brainwash the female Furies and give them, false... confidence and false memories to for the most part, to get Aureli back on track. And Aureli and Beautiful Dreamer end up escaping. Aureli helps Beautiful Dreamer get away, and she herself takes refuge and is starting to like play through like the you know dreams that she was shown of, you know, what could be, and showing like her true passion, and she's, you know, realizes she's passionate about, you know, creating art and being like this dancer. And just as she is starting to express that, the Furies like Barda and Lashina find her and capture her and bring her back. And when she's brought back, she ends up getting tortured again. And she, since she loves to dance, she has these boots strapped on her legs that are like molten metal, essentially. They were pulled out of the flames and burned her legs off. And she ends up going to shock and dying. And Barda realizes that she, you know, was telling the truth and she didn't believe her, and she feels horrible about it. One cool thing, whenever they're all seeing like these dreams of what, you know, could be, Barda sees a dream of her like in a bathtub and some dude standing there talking about like, you know, hey, come on, hurry and get out of the bath. The baby is, you know, crying, and it's Scott Free, like referencing the Mr. Miracle book, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
But yes, and it sets up like Barda, you know, wanting to avenge what happened to Aureli. So it's like, there's been some, you know, talk about this book in interviews that the characters don't really act like who the characters are, that they're not being written the way that people know the characters. But I feel like this issue kind of puts it back on track, or sets it up to put some of these characters, you know, in the place that we mostly know them as. I think most of the issues were with Barda, because Big Barda was coming off as just kind of a very, you know, cold kind of like asshole towards Aureli, and constantly like not believing her and berating her, you know, when she tries to tell her the truth about what's happening. Mm-hmm. But this kind of, you know, turns things back a bit. But it was good. The art's been fantastic in this book. It just has a really cool, like Kirby-esque vibe to it. And the colors really pop. The other book that I'll mention is Young Justice. I believe it was number 4. This is just a fun book. It's been really fun. The Pat Gleason art is fantastic. This particular issue focuses a lot on just like Gemworld and what's going on there, because all the heroes are captive on Gemworld right now. And we're seeing like what kind of went down on Gemworld. We get to learn a bit about Amethyst, seeing how like the she was trying to stop the dark, you know, lords like Lord Opal from trying to kill Turquoise and take over. But it was a fun issue. So the first issue, a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Things still don't really make a ton of sense. But yeah, which is good. This issue sees more of the Titans, or Young Titans, more of the heroes unite. So we had Tim Drake and Cassie see Connor for the first time and realize that he's still around. Yeah, it was good. I've been liking it.
So it's the real Connor Kent.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. Wow.
Yep. He's back. He's married, has a kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's it for me.
That's it? Okay, I have a couple more. Sadly, my memory is kind of failing me as I'm looking at these titles. I read War of Realms, but I read it a long, long time ago.
You said you had ones you thought I had, too.
I was kidding.
Oh.
I was teasing. Yeah, because of my 4 remaining, 3 are Marvel. So how many of those did you read?
I read 7 Marvel books, but I don't think they...
Okay, we'll start off with Conan, number 5. Really good. Oh, he's on a boat that he was tasked with getting this wooden idol and returning it to, like, a king or something. For some reason, he had this wooden idol, and he had people were really wanting it. And so he's on the hold of this boat, and people attack the boat to come and get him, to get the idol. And while he's fighting them off, it becomes uncovered. It was just, like, covered in cloth. and basically it then, like, activates. Or some blood. As he killed somebody, some blood got on it, and that activated the idol. Basically turned everybody into, like, a zombie. And actually, even worse than zombies. These weird creatures with tentacles and stuff. So he killed some of them and threw them over into the water, and then the sharks became these big creatures with all these tentacles and stuff, and he had to kill them, and he put everything down in the hold of the ship. And then he was sailing by himself, trying to sail this big ship, and finally he gave up and burned the whole thing down. Maybe just like a little Conan story, you know, just nothing super fancy, but it was good. It was good, you know, just showing how, you know, just, you know, lots of Crom, you know, stuff. So it was very Conan-y.
Is it selling better than the Dark Horse?
Yeah, much
books?
Better. We'll see. I think it's starting to slow down though, because I took a gamble and never increased my numbers. Figuring it was going to hit a wall at some point. At first, it was novelty, but if I then raised my numbers, you know, eventually it was going to come back down. So I think I'm kind of leveled out now, which is good. Okay.
Which one of the three do you think sell?
Conan's selling the best because it's Jason Aaron, and also each issue is a standalone. Savage Sword has been good. That's by Jerry Duggan, but it's more of a story. And then Age of Belit. The second issue just came out today. I did not care for number one. I thought the art was too plain. It was almost like Amanda Connery, which really doesn't fit a Conan-type book. Mm-hmm. It was a little too cartoony, too normal. You know, it needs to be a little grittier. So I wasn't a big fan of that one. Major X by Rob Liefeld. Wow. Yeah. If you are, I'm a little bit dumber for having read it. If you're a big Rob Liefeld fan, this book is for you. He had lots of feet, but no ankles. Cable was in it
How
at one point.
Thumbs?
And he has like the strap with the pouches and stuff, but it literally looked like a big harness that was shaped like an H. And at one point he was standing there and this shoulder started about here. After this big thing, and it's just like, man, did he dislocate his shoulder? I feel bad for him. And another point, Major X is holding a sword, but he has both hands in the same spot on the sword. Oh. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
I like to see him teach like an anatomy class.
Yeah, it added a new character besides Major X. It was also the first appearance of Dreadpool.
They didn't get away with that?
Yeah. Well, it's in a Marvel book. Mm. He created Deadpool.
But, I mean, the Dread part, though.
I'm sure, and then we're going to get Dreadlocks Pool and...
Head Dreadpool?
And Rope, you know, the other brother of Cable. I honestly can say I probably didn't read the last four pages because I kind of had enough. It was... it was a different dimension, and just it was just a whole lot of...
Oh, so this doesn't even take place in the actual...
I didn't really retain enough of it.
Did he write it too?
Yes, he wrote and drew this one. Yeah.
Talented.
Well...
Sure.
Well, did all the characters' eyes go the right way?
He doesn't like to draw the pupils, so that makes it really easy. But Sector Zero, this is an interesting one. This originally came out like in 2000. Tom Grummett and another name, like somebody who's now known but might not have been known then. Interesting little sci-fi, like CIA group. They kind of go in where there's trouble type of thing. The interesting thing about this was it was kickstarted to finish it. It originally started and like two or three of the five issues came out and then it got canceled. So this is it coming out again. The main reason I know that I heard about it, and then Tony's like, wait a minute, I already read this. I have this. So I'm like, well, I guess you just need to get issues 4 and 5. But it wasn't bad. It did feel a little bit dated, but not horribly so. But it was interesting, but in a very much an X-Files type situation. And then the last one I read was Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys the Marvel Universe number 2. Cute. The first one focused on Fantastic Four.
That's not what
Four.
I would think whenever you that described that book would be cute.
Well, you have to remember, it's written by Paul Scheer, the comedian. This one focused on Spider-Man. And basically, Frank Castle has gone back to his family before he was killed, yet he's Uncle, I forget the name he picks. And he's sitting around so he can see his kids again and his wife again. And he's talking to them and kind of telling them stories. And in this one, in Destroying the Marvel History, there were some funny things where he's like competing with Peter Parker to take pictures of Spider-Man and stuff, and it was just goofy. But he was trying to keep Peter from making mistakes. Like, he stopped the burglar before he killed Uncle Ben and did the penance stare at him, and lots of little things like that. The one funny thing was Aunt May's in the hospital, and he's there holding a pillow over his face, as Peter comes in, because it's not actually Aunt May. It's someone who had plastic surgery to look like Aunt May. And also then Ben Reilly shows up, and he's like, okay, I'm going to save everybody about 2 years. So basically stops the clone story from happening. So just little things like that. That's where it was cute, just the little nods to things like that I thought were kind of funny. But yeah, it's just kind of playing along with all of Spider-Man's, like, you know, Spider-Man, you know, quits and throws the thing in the thing. He's like, no, here, you need this, take this, you know, little things like that. So it was cute in that regard. I did enjoy it. It's goofy, but it's been fun. So that's all I read. I had high aspirations, but I kept pulling out the books and looking at them, and it just... Last week was a little thin, and there wasn't a ton that I really, really wanted to read.
Did you guys get a chance to watch Shazam yet?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Yeah. I heard you have, but I didn't know if Dave or Colin got it.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It was good.
I liked it quite a bit.
Well, good. Awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I might try to sneak out tomorrow if we're a little slow in the afternoon. I'll sneak out and get an afternoon showing.
I wonder how long, with the DC app, I wonder if it will go in there before, it goes to, DVD or anything like that, with their newer movies, when they find, you know.
You mean Shazam?
Instead, will it go on there before it comes out on, DVD and Blu-ray and stuff that, you know?
I don't know, that'd be nice if we got it there, but who knows. It'd be nice if I could see Aquaman there. Mm-hmm. I feel bad, I haven't seen Aquaman or Spider-Verse yet.
What's the most recent movie that's on there?
I have no idea. I don't have the thing. Well, Aquaman's out on DVD now, so I'd think you'd be able to get it on there.
Maybe we'll find out. Yeah, I don't know if it has any of Man of Steel or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's mostly older. It has the original Batman. It has
You're about the streaming service?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it has any recent stuff.
I'm not sure if it does. It has all the animated movies.
Yeah, I was watching the Tim Burton Batman on Saturday. Just for fun.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Is Super Friends on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Super Friends. What's the one, not Battle of the Network Stars, but something similar to that, where it has all the different ones on it. And I tried watching the Shazam show.
Yeah.
I think I got it 3 episodes in before I had to stop, because it was basically filmed in the same place as MASH. And it did, every 70s TV show was filmed in the exact same place. Every Columbo, the exact same hills. So I could only take so much in the acting. The guy who played Shazam, the grown-up, was really quite stiff. And it's very painful to watch.
I like the content. I don't love...
That's Shazam?
No, there's it's a different actor. That's the kid who that's Billy Batson.
Yeah.
But that's not the same.
Oh, right.
That's not the same guy.
Yeah, it isn't, right? I don't know who that is.
Yeah. So
I don't love the dashboard in the DC Universe app. Just the way it's laid out, it seems like it doesn't present everything there.
Okay.
So you have to kind of search for things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish it kind of just had everything.
Yeah. The Fire Stick app is nice. Works fine. But much better than the CW app I have a lot of trouble with. I remember I was trying to watch something and I wanted to go to an episode and it just wouldn't let me. Okay, next week. It's coming out next week, fellas. Next week, another big week.
Here soon he won't even need us.
No. Two more Amazing X-Men books. We have Amazing Nightcrawler 3 and Next Gen 3. Spider-Man, we have 19 Who. And one neat thing, Amazing Spider-Man 252 facsimile edition. This is the first black costume, first issue. Avengers No Road Home wraps up on 10. Tim has really been talking this one up. Batman 69 should be the first post-Nightmares issue, so that's next week. Blessed Machine, number 2. I really like number 1, and I did get it back in. From a new company called Cave Pictures Studios. They were at the Comics Pro meeting, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I get what you're going with Cave Pictures, but you sound like a movie studio, you know, trying now to venture into comics. But the first one was really neat, set in the future after we'd done something bad that one of the collider, the atom colliders, exploded and destroyed the atmosphere, and they had to live underground. Created a artificial intelligence to run things for us, and apparently it's taken over. So that was interesting. Blossom 666 is next week, number 3. Buffy the Vampire Slayer 4, that one's selling very well for me. Daredevil number 5, number 3 was quite good, bringing in the Punisher. We have Guardians of the Galaxy 4, that one also is doing quite well. Incursion number 3. Little Bird number 2. Number 1 was quite good. We got second prints in today. That was a neat little future fantasy one from Image. I thought that one was really good. Major X number 2.
Your favorite.
You're going to have to wait a little bit for second prints number 1 because I did run out. Mary Shelley Monster Hunter. This is from Aftershock. The basic idea on this one is, you know, people are wondering how Mary Shelley could, you know, write Frankenstein at such a young age, and the answer is because she lived it. Dun dun dun. So, Middle West number 6, that one's selling really well as well. Neil Gaiman American Gods, Moment of the Storm. The show is back on, and this is part 3 of this series. I don't know how many it's going. Planet of the Nerds is next week. That's a fun awesome. One. Basically, the idea behind that one is three jocks in the 80s, like a la Revenge of the Nerds, the football players, get cryogenically frozen and awaken nowadays when the world is pretty much run by nerds, and they still have the same attitude of, oh, hey, nerd, but they don't realize that the nerds are now running everything. Spider-Man City at War, number 2. This is the video game one. And then Spider-Man Life Story, which is doing a different decade for each issue. This is the 70s issue.
I like that first
issue. Yeah, I thought that was really good. Star Wars Age of Rebellion Special. Star Wars Age of Rebellion Special. Mm-hmm. This has three stories that don't get characters that didn't deserve their own issue, but you're going to be really excited to get it, Josh, because it's got Yoda as a story. IG-88. You always want to know more about IG-88. And
I hate you.
Then Biggs and Porkins have their own little thing.
There's a Worf story too, Josh.
You're like, you're so charming, Dave.
Also, Star Wars TIE Fighter. This is a 5-issue series about this, this group of elite TIE Fighter captains or pilots. And, you know, what's really, you know, are they really on the Empire side? Is it just a job? What's going on with them? Thor number 12 is tying into War of the Realms. Tooth Fairy Zero. Well, it's not actually Tooth Fairy. This is coming from Boom, and it's actually a new Angel series where they're doing it. They're a la Die Die Die, where they just send us the first issue. So that's coming next week. War of the Realms number 2, War of the Realms Punisher, and War of the Realms War Scrolls. War Scrolls is like more like an anthology book. I think there's 4 different stories in that one. Exo Man of War is next week. Is that the last issue, 26?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And new Xena Warrior Princess number 1. I know everybody's very excited about that one. So, that's everything coming out. I will have more copies of the book club book, Infinity Gauntlet, by the time you're hearing this. They should be on the counter. That is coming up April 26th. Is that right?
The day of the movie, right?
Yeah, it's the day the movie comes out. Sorry, I didn't plan that. I just picked the last Friday of the month. Figured we'd keep that simple. But since I don't have $150 for a movie ticket, I'm not going opening night.
Who would want to, anyways?
I agree. I'm not a fan of a crowded theater, personally. Sorry.
Yeah, me
either. It's Aftershock month. Aftershock was really good to us. So double points on all Aftershock graphic novels, all month long. We've had good success with that. I had to reorder a bunch this week that are coming in. Let's see, Free Comic Book Day is coming up May 4th.
Yeah.
So I'm doing some prep for that.
Free Comic Book Day and Star Wars Day on the same day?
On the same day. Well, it pretty much had a 1 out of 7 chance of landing on the same day. So, and who's not coming out with a Star Wars book for Free Comic Book Day? Marvel.
Dark Horse?
Marvel isn't. Derp. Not really a hard call, but what you gonna do? IDW was doing one of the Star Wars Adventures books for Free Comic Book Day, but Marvel, in their infinite wisdom, didn't. That's all I got. As always, you can find me here. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So, I think that's all we got for this week. Josh!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you later. Thanks for listening. See ya.